That hymn that we just sang, I think I shared that I first came across it about a year ago. Al Renuccheroni, in one of his emails, said that it was the favorite hymn of a sister who went to be with the Lord about a year ago, Irene Levy. I think it was in the email that he mentioned that she had been the roommate of one of the daughters of the guy, Ben Yehuda, who was kind of the spearhead in getting Hebrew as a spoken language again. One of his daughters roomed with Irene Levy. And Irene Levy was a believer, lived in Israel. She died at 103. I think she'd lived in Israel for, maybe 70 years, Al said. And this was her favorite hymn. And it was at her father's funeral, I think, that they sang it. And I hadn't heard it before, or at least not that I remembered, and so I looked it up, and then it was about the time that my dad had his open heart surgery, and I had the words of this hymn going through my mind and heart during that, a great comfort at that time, and I can see why she liked it so much. And just this week, I went to the ER, I'm okay, but it was one of those things where had some abdominal pain and got checked out, and things were okay. But it's, you start thinking, well, what could this mean? What might this be? And one of the things that I was thinking of was, Paul, when he writes in Philippians 1, I was ready to go be with the Lord, truly. And, he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So I felt for Katie and the kids, but I was genuinely ready to go if it was my time, or stay if the Lord would have me. Either way, I knew that He was my shepherd. He was going to take care of me. And, hymns like this, great comfort. I know it comforted Irene through her life. I'm not sure if she was a believer when she roomed with the daughter of Ben Yehuda, but I know she became one later in life and was a wonderful saint in the Nutrones church there in Jerusalem for many, many years. And so the Lord takes, we're His sheep, He's our shepherd, and this passage that we're about to read in Luke, this is one of the key themes, and in fact, even how it happens and the way that the evangelists record it, it draws us back in our thinking to passages like Psalm 23 and like Ezekiel 34, which speak of how the Lord is our shepherd. And some of what this means is that He provides for us and takes care of us as His sheep. And so let's go ahead and read our passage this morning. It's Luke chapter 9 and verses 9 through 10 through 17. And I invite you, if you're able, would you please rise for the reading of God's word here from Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. On their return, the apostles told him all that they had done, and he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And they did so, and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. What are some of the things that you think about when you consider the ways that the Lord has provided for you, from small to great? I was reading this week in Psalm 92, and it says in Psalm 92 in verses 1 and 2. It's a psalm, a song for the Sabbath heading. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Now, we have so much to give thanks to the Lord for, to declare his steadfast love in the morning and his faithfulness by night. He takes care of us in so many ways. You know, when you stop to consider the ways that the Lord has provided for us, it's, you know, an exercise in counting our blessings. And when you start doing that, you know, you realize, I mean, you can keep going and going and going, and there's more than you even realize to articulate. But you start doing that, and it's an exercise in reminding us of how much the Lord has blessed us with, how much he's taking care of for us, taking care of us in. And you start counting them, and you realize there's so many more than you are aware of, from the everyday things to the extraordinary. And we see them all around us, the Lord's provisions in our life. You know, they come in the mundane, as well as sometimes in the miraculous. And we're his sheep, brothers and sisters. He's our shepherd. We rely on him and he provides. We're dependent and he's in control. And there's great comfort in this for whatever season we are in life, whether we're in a season of winter time in life, of spring, of summer, of fall. You know, whatever seasons that we're going through in life, it's great comfort to know that the Lord is our shepherd. If we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, the Lord is our shepherd through whatever we face. And I knew, as I was in the ER, the Lord would take care of Katie and the kids. If it was my time to go, if I stay, he's my shepherd either way. And really it was a great comfort to remember in that moment. Once again, that the Lord is my shepherd, and he provides for us. We're dependent on him, and so we've known this, and it's a great thing to think about. And this passage that we just read reminds us of these things, that we're a sheep dependent on the Lord's provision, and that he who has given us the greatest provision for our salvation will certainly tend to our lesser needs. As Paul says in Romans 8:32, he says, quote, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And of course, we're not yet in heaven. We have that to come, and we have that in Christ. But we know that he's our provider, our shepherd now, and he's leading us there. And he who has given us his son, how will he not graciously give us all things? And so when we face difficult circumstances, still the Lord is our strength and our provider. Paul knew this as he suffered in prison. If you remember in Philippians 4:11-13, Paul says, he says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This the secret of contentment in the strength of Christ, in knowing Christ and his strength is the secret for our contentment as we lean further into the Lord and his provision, his sovereignty, his care for us. There's an increase in our sense of contentment. And so Paul knew this. The Lord was his strength and provider even while he was in prison. And we know that what God knows we need isn't always exactly the same as what we thought we needed. But as his sheep, we can trust him. We can ask him, rest in him, and follow him. And this feeding of the 5,000 that we just read, plus the women and children, so a large crowd, 5,000 men plus women and children, maybe 20,000 total, 30,000, we don't know exactly how many total, but 5,000 men. And in this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, we get a sign. John tells us it's a sign, John 6:14. We get a sign of Jesus' identity and his ministry and his trustworthiness. It's a revelation of who he is, and it's an example of his ability to provide for his sheep, and it's a foreshadowing of his greatest provision at the cross. And so we see this in the sign of the feeding of the 5,000. So what does this miracle tell us about Jesus' identity and mission? Well, it's cast for us in terms of the Exodus. You may or may not have picked up on some of these cues as you studied it or read it through, but it's cast in terms of the Exodus. John records for us that it took place when the Passover was at hand. The Passover, which is, you know, the Lord passing over Israel with the blood of the lamb over the lintels of their houses as part of the great Exodus. And so it takes place, John tells us, when the Passover was at hand. That's in John 6:4. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. By the way, this is the only one of Jesus' miracles other than his resurrection that every evangelist records. This is the only one, as far as I'm aware, that's recorded by every evangelist other than Christ's resurrection. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that this feeding of the 5,000 happened in a wilderness place, wilderness or desert. Well, this also has, you remember the Exodus, they spent then 40 years in the wilderness after they were brought out. And this feeding of the 5,000, it involved the miraculous gift of bread and meat. It also reminds you of the Exodus, the manna and the quail, the bread from heaven, and then the quail, bread and meat, barley loaves and fish, paralleling the manna and quail. And so just as in the Exodus, it was the Lord delivering and providing for his people, so also here with the feeding of the 5,000. Again, you have the 12 baskets. We've seen the number 12 appear a lot in Luke at this point. You know, the woman bleeding for 12 years, the 12-year-old daughter, then the sending out of the 12 apostles, and now the 12 baskets gathered. And 12 has this symbolic meaning of God's people. You think of the 12 tribes and then the 12 apostles. And so the 12 baskets, God providing for his people with plenty left over. There was no lack in what he needed to provide for his people. And were his people, were his sheep through faith in Christ. And so this passage is cast in terms of the Exodus. In fact, Luke specifically mentions the word Exodus. I think he's the only one of all the gospel writers that mention this term specifically. And it's just a little while later. It's on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it's in verse 31 of chapter 9. And it says that, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure. That is Exodus. You could the word there, Exodus. You might even have a footnote. The ESV does. It says Greek Exodus. And so Luke is drawing our attention to, and the prophet spoke about a new Exodus to come, a new Exodus to come, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And now he has come, and we see that Jesus is the leader, the Lord of this new Exodus. And he is what the Passover lamb was pointing to. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John the Baptist in John 1:29. And so at the cross, Jesus provides the fulfillment of the Passover lamb as the one who that pointed to as the Passover lamb, capital P. And so Jesus, who's leading this new Exodus, this new deliverance, what the old Exodus pointed to, this greater new Exodus in Christ. And here we see him providing for his people in a wilderness place, bread and meat as their Lord and Shepherd. And this miraculous feeding is also cast in light of passages that speak of the Lord as shepherd. So Mark, for example, it's interesting. Mark, now a couple of the other evangelists mention grass in the place, which is fitting with the Passover. We're told it takes place around Passover. So yeah, you would expect that there's grass during that time of the year. Mark explicitly mentions that it's green grass. Now, why would he do that? I think that the reason why, it was green, yeah. So that's there. But then also, I think he wants us to think of Psalm 23, which specifically mentions green grass. You know, Mark says, when Mark records this, he says in Mark 6:34, Mark tells us this. He says, quote, he says that when Jesus saw the crowd, quote, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he's already making us think of sheep and shepherd imagery, and then Mark explicitly mentions that the grass was green. Well, where do we read about green grass? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And then he says, lie down. It's interesting that one of Jesus' instructions to his disciples is have the people sit down in the green grass. So again, hearkening back to the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And so Mark wants us to see these connections with Psalm 23 as well. Of course, Jesus, as we know in John, he takes the designation to himself as the good shepherd. And so this miracle feeding echoes parts of Psalm 23 and Ezekiel 34, for example. Psalm 23 tells us that the Lord makes his sheep lie down in green pastures. And in Ezekiel 34, we read about how the Lord in the new Exodus would feed them on the mountains of Israel. Now, not only does this feeding of the 5,000 take place in the wilderness, one of the evangelists mentioned, John, I believe it is, yes, John mentions that it took place on a mountain. So John 6:3, John tells us that the feeding took place on a mountain. Again, reflecting back as you're thinking about Old Testament scriptures that are being echoed and fulfilled, Isaiah 34, 13 through 14 mentions that the Lord would feed his people on the mountains of Israel. And so we find that the grass is green, they're sitting down, sheep without a shepherd, on a mountain, in the wilderness, providing bread and meat for his people, and sitting down in this place. And so you see all these wonderful connections to passages in the Old Testament that speak about the Lord's deliverance and the Lord's shepherding of his people. So we see with all these echoes and fulfillments in the feeding of the 5,000 that Jesus is being shown to be the Lord, the good shepherd who provides for his sheep. Again, Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34 speaks about the Lord as shepherd as well as the coming son of David as shepherd. Both. And we see that in Christ, he's the one who is the son of God, the eternal son of God, and the son of David by virtue of his incarnation. And so we have the good shepherd who provides for his sheep, especially in the great deliverance that the Exodus pointed to. And as the Passover lamb who takes away the sin of the world, the Passover, the Exodus, and that Jesus is the Messiah shepherd prophesied in Ezekiel 34:23. It says this, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. Isaiah 34:23, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. Well, here we find Jesus feeding a crowd of 5,000, feeding those who are like sheep without a shepherd in ways that resonate with Psalm 23 and Isaiah 34 and the Exodus, all echoed and being culminated and fulfilled in Christ. So we're being shown in this, as I said, John says this is a sign. John chapter 6, he mentions this miracle is a sign, and it tells us about Jesus' identity and mission. We're being shown that Jesus is the Lord and Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of David, the Good Shepherd, to be believed in for salvation and followed in life toward the house of the Lord, where we will dwell forever. And so this miraculous feeding of the 5,000 illustrates his general provision for our sustenance. He provided their daily bread. He provided what they had the need for food in that place. So it illustrates his general provision for our sustenance, and it foreshadows his amazing provision for our salvation. Like the Exodus was a deliverance with the Passover lamb at the center of it. So the new Exodus, the fulfillment of that, it was a deliverance with the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the Messiah, at the center of it. And so it's foreshadowing his provision for us at the cross in this feeding of the 5,000 with all of these Old Testament echoes going on. And it also points us toward his provision for us in the heavenly kingdom to come, where we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is our provider. He's the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And he who laid down his life for the sheep, won't he care for us in the lesser ways as well? Of course he will. So we can trust him in our lives for all things. You know, as his trusting sheep, we get to rest in his amazing provision of salvation. So are you this morning trusting in Christ as your Savior and Lord, as the one who died for your sins and rose from the dead? Because this is what the Exodus foreshadows is the deliverance through the sacrifice of the Lamb. And John says, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead in victory to give us salvation, to give us forgiveness and eternal life. The righteous one crucified in the place of the unrighteous to bring us to God. And so we who trust in him, we have his provision of salvation. And so let me ask you, if you're resting in the in his provision of salvation, are you experiencing the assurance and the peace and the joy of that? He who gave his own son, how will he not also give us all things? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is the greatest provision that we needed. This is the greatest thing right there in the salvation that we have in Christ, to be reconciled to God. And so we see that we have this provision in him. And so you who are his sheep by faith, we have this great salvation. Are you experiencing to the full the assurance, the peace, and the joy of that? You know, are you counting your blessings and counting this blessing, this amazing blessing? I encourage you, if you're not, to spend time, like Psalm 92, thanking the Lord and honoring him for his provision, his steadfast love. To us, that's in the evening, in the morning, at all times. And then we get to rely on him not only for our salvation, but also for our daily bread, for our provision throughout life. We have his provision for our salvation. We also have his provision for what he knows we need in our daily lives. Now, again, it may not be exactly what we thought we needed, but he knows best, and so he'll answer our prayers according to his wisdom and goodness and shepherding, even if it means giving us something different than what we thought we needed in that case. And so are you casting your cares on him and resting in his faithfulness? I remember Hudson Taylor, this was a big breakthrough in his life when he came to see that the Lord is faithful. He can be relied on for everything. And so this casting our cares on him and resting in his faithfulness as we follow him as our shepherd. You know, it's, I guess, it'd be kind of hard to imagine anyone as sort of unsettled as a sheep without a shepherd out in the wilderness in danger, times of danger. You know, that sheep certainly isn't the shepherd and enemies and places of barrenness rather than grass. And you need a shepherd to take care of you. Well, we have the good shepherd who is not only our Savior, but also provides for our daily needs. And so we have the privilege of casting our cares on him, knowing that he cares for us and resting in his faithfulness. And we also get to bank on him for the future. We get to bank on him for our future, that we who are his, who know him as our Savior, we have the hope of glory. We know where we're going. We're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One day, there'll be no more mourning, crying, or pain. We know where we're going, and he's leading us there. And so, do you have the hope of glory bright in your hearts? The hope of the certain glory to come shining back on your hearts, that as we go on our pilgrim way in this age where we walk through valleys, over mountains, on plains, various terrain, following our shepherd, we know that our future is secure in him. He's going to provide what we need for the present, for what he knows we need for our service to him in the present. Even if we suffer death, he has us in his hand. Nothing can snatch us from his hand, and we have eternal life in him. And we have his salvation through faith in Christ. As his sheep, we get to follow him in our lives in faith, with his provision in all areas of life, and with hope along this pilgrim way. You know, we're pilgrims. Going toward the house of the Lord where we will dwell forever. And so we have the privilege of resting in the provision of our shepherd. He is our good shepherd. He's our good and great shepherd. And we know, like as the song you probably are familiar with says, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. So brothers and sisters, his grace is sufficient for us. That's one of the things we see in the feeding of the 5,000 with plenty left over. There's nothing that is impossible with God. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. He cares for us. He's good. He's trustworthy. And so there's such assurance and peace that we have through faith in him that no matter what we go through, whether it's valleys or mountains, plains, winters, seasons of summer, spring, whatever, he's our provider. And so, brothers and sisters, let's be encouraged to walk as closely as we can with him who is our good and great shepherd and who is leading us to the house of the Lord where we will dwell forever. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you care for us more than we even comprehend, that your love that we know surpasses our knowledge, and that you have showed your love for us in the cross, and you who sent your son, how much more will you take care of our lesser needs as well. And so, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our hearts, encourage us in your grace and love and provision, help us to continue following you in faith, and grow us in our faith and trust, and so grow us also in our confidence and in our assurance and in our peace and in our joy and in our desire to serve you to the utmost in our lives. For you are our good and great shepherd, and we thank you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.